Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning, everybody, across Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is the Todd Albaugh Show. I'm Todd. It is Friday, January 6, 2023. We have made it to the end of the week. This on the two-year anniversary of the attempted, not the attempted, it was an insurrection at the Capitol 2 years ago on January 6th. We're going to be taking some time this morning to remember those folks who were lost in that insurrection. Could remember the episode or those days when I think all of us remembers where we were at, when it happened, when we heard about it, in some cases when we saw it on television. So taking a look at that this morning. Also coming up at 8:30 this morning, going to talk a little bit of sports. Packers, little Badgers, talk about NFL injuries and safety protocol. All that coming up at 8:30 with Brady Ewing, former Badger player and NFL player as well, at 8:30. At 10:30 this morning then, April Ziemer, the editor of the Amory Free Press and president of the Amory Community Club, will join us from beautiful Amory. Talk about snow up there. Also, you know, they get a lot of snow, but that's good for winter tourism season, snowmobiling and skiing and things like that. So we'll talk about all those fun activities that you could do if you want to travel to or if you live in and around Amory this morning as well. Good morning, Mr. Aaron Zommer, our producer, engineer, and guy extraordinaire. How are you this morning, my friend?
Good. Pretty good. Speaking of remembering where you were when you heard what was happening on January 6th 2 years ago,
yeah,
I didn't believe it.
Really?
Until I started hearing it from multiple people and then went and looked.
Yeah.
The first pictures I saw, or I think it was pictures on Twitter, and it was just the people dressed super ridiculously. And I was like, come on. There's right. No way they let these lunatics into the Capitol.
Right.
And then as I watched and read and heard more, I was like, holy crap. Why? Why did this happen?
Right.
And having heard about the rally the day before or whenever it was, I was like, well, these are the consequences for your actions. Surely something will happen about this right away.
But no. It was, I was actually running my coffee shop at the time and had the television on, as per usual, on CNN, and watched it in real time as it happened. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. I don't want to say I barely made it in. I made it in okay. Everything is set to go. But I fell asleep last night before I set my alarm, which is a dangerous thing to do when you work in morning radio. But thank God I woke up by myself and thought, well, I feel kind of refreshed this morning. And then I'm like, oh, it's because it's quarter till, well, I guess it was quarter to six at that point, or 6 o'clock. I usually wake up at 5:30 and set my alarm for 5:30. So I think it was six, or I think actually I was close to a quarter after six by the time I kind of like figured out what time it was. So Under the wire, but all is well. Got here in time, and we are set to go for you for a Friday show. It's going to be a fun Friday. We hope you will stick with us for all 3 hours as well. Check the weather forecast for you around the state of Wisconsin. If you are listening to us on WRCE in Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin, expect gradually clearing skies today. That's right. We're going to see some sun, folks. That's going to make us all feel a little bit better as well. A high of 23. And then for tonight, expect a low of 10 degrees. Tomorrow, more sun and a high near 32. Up in Wausau, middle of the state, 24 degrees and mostly cloudy, but some sun will peek through, so you will get a few rays of sun as well. A high of 24 degrees. Tonight, patchy fog after 4 p.m. and a low of around 4. Tomorrow, patchy fog before 9, otherwise mostly sunny and a high near 26 degrees. Amory today, beautiful Amory up in northwest Wisconsin, 17 degrees, some freezing rain and fog this morning, then mostly sunny in the afternoon, so for some sun in Amory as well. Tonight, widespread freezing fog. That does not sound fun if you're in Amory tonight. Freezing fog, a low of around 0. Tomorrow, widespread freezing fog, mainly before 10, but then mostly sunny and high near 19. So the good news is we're all going to see a little bit of sun at some point here this morning. Aaron, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, live on the air. because I forgot my news, which is out on the printer. If you could bring that in for me, please. We'll talk a little bit more while I'm doing this.
Sure thing.
See, this is why we have a fantastic producer like Aaron. When you have an old, forgetful host like Toddy, that he could go grab something off the printer for you. So I had typed up or done the news here this morning and then started the show and completely spaced out and forgot to bring it in so I could read it to you. As we were talking, though, it is the first anniversary of the insurrection, or second anniversary, actually. Thank you, Aaron. What a great guy you are. I appreciate it. Oh, I think it was on the other, it was like underneath. That's fine. We can all do the news after the break. It is the first anniversary, second anniversary of the insurrection in Washington, D.C. And as I was saying before we did the weather there, I was running a coffee shop at the time, or owned and ran a coffee shop. And we had we're watching it on television. We watched CBS this morning, and then we would change it over to CNN, trying to get that balance and not be too far too right, too far left or right. And so we had it on, and my employees were watching this, and the crowd kind of started getting larger. And then the breach of the barricades. And I said to the folks that worked with me, I said, this is going down. This is not right. Because having worked for the House of Representatives, I knew what it meant to breach a Capitol Police line. And that was the point that I knew we were in for something very, very bad. We're going to take a break, come back, and tell you some things that are very good, some not so good. I'll update you on the speaker's race for the House, all that and more. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8:15 on Friday, January 6th, 2023. Todd Allball, along with engineer, producer, all-around great guy, Mr. Aaron Zommer, is coming up at 8:30. We will talk Wisconsin sports with Brady Ewing. And then at 10:30 this morning, we have April Zimmer, editor of the Amory Free Press and president of the Amory Community Club. We will talk about all things winter recreation and what's popping up in Amory. So we'll talk to April. Look forward to having her on then. But first, here's what you need to know for January 6th, 2023. The battle for House Speaker will resume for a fourth day today. Yesterday, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy continued to suffer a string of defeats in multiple rounds of voting before the House adjourned. As the fight for the gavel drags on, it has now become the largest speaker, making the longest speaker contest in 164 years. Each failed vote only increases pressure on McCarthy to end the impasse, but it is unclear whether he'll be able to lock in the 218 votes he needs to win. Talks are continuing among Republicans after negotiations aimed at winning over McCarthy's opponents picked up steam on Thursday. Key House GOP negotiators said they were moving toward an agreement that would bring McCarthy closer to the number of the votes that he needs. But that's the thing. These agreements are kind of bringing people closer, but he still needs 218. And there appear to be at least five. And remember, he can only lose four. There appears to be at least five ultra-mega Republicans, whatever you want to call them. Maybe the better term is never Kevins, who aren't going to vote for him. So we shall see. It's appearing that this may drag on into and through the weekend.
You know, especially since some of the conditions that have been talked about are making it so only one person, or anyway, at the very least, a handful of people would need to motion to.
No, it's right. You're right. It's one. One person could call for a speaker under McCarthy when he agreed to. Only one person is all it would take for a person to say, let's have a vote in the speaker.
So, yeah, it wouldn't do anything. It would just be annoying.
Right. So we shall see. That is a concern, Aaron. Listening to a lot of lawmakers last night, that we are getting into a situation where even if McCarthy could pull it out, it makes it nearly ungovernable. And there are a lot of things like the debt ceiling that are going to be coming up here in the new Congress. And if this is the way that Kevin McCarthy is going to run the House, you're going to have a situation where Democrats, there's a procedure where it would take all the Democrats on the floor and 10 House Republicans to take a vote to force committees to bring necessary bills to the full House floor for a vote. Not a great way to run your house. As we said, today is January 6th. It marks 2 years since the attack on the U.S. Capitol, and security officials are preparing for a wave of planned protests in the area. Multiple sources tell CNN that the U.S. Capitol Police will have civil disturbance units on standby for several protests on the Capitol grounds that have already been granted permits and at the Supreme Court building. The increased security measures come out of an abundance of caution, sources tell CNN, and reflect what has become standard protocol for Capitol Police in the wake of the deadly insurrection 2 years ago. Also today, President Joe Biden is expected to mark the anniversary by awarding the Presidential Citizen Medal to 12 people. The individuals include law enforcement officers who were injured defending the Capitol, a police officer who died in the attack, and election workers who rejected efforts by former President Donald Trump to overturn the election results of 2020. All 32 teams in the NFL are set for the final scheduled regular season games this weekend, but many players across the league are contemplating an emotional return to the field in the wake of DeMar Hamlin's mid-game cardiac arrest. On Thursday, doctors said the 24-year-old Buffalo Bills player is awake in a Cincinnati hospital, is, quote, neurologically sound, and his hands and feet are moving. News that has elicited relief from supporters nationwide after he collapsed on the field Monday night. Several players across the league are cheering for Hamlin's improvement, but many are still understandably shaken up and unsure if they're ready to play this weekend. On Thursday, the NFL canceled the Bills versus Bengals game, meaning both teams will head into the playoffs having played one fewer game than other teams in the AFC. Officials are expected to meet today with all NFL teams to discuss a proposal for playoff options amid such unforeseen circumstances. But great news that DeMar Hamlin apparently is now breathing close to, as of last night, I believe he still had a ventilator on, but he was able to write things. Apparently the first thing he wrote when he came to was, "Did we win?" That's all. Did we win?
Nice.
And it was humorous and kind of cute, but also just a great sign. The doctor said that he apparently didn't even have enough amnesia to, you know, having not remembered playing. He remembered playing, obviously. So that in and of itself, this is not Todd talking, but this is what medical people said. That in and of itself was a great sign as far as how his brain was working.
Absolutely. That is awesome. I knew that he was writing. I didn't know that's what he wrote, because it's even better when it's something that recently before the event, and that it's humorous, that obviously is like, okay, I'll be all right.
All right. And apparently the doctor's response was, yes, DeMar, you won the game of life. that's what you won. So great news as far as DeMar Hamlin's continued recovery. President Biden on Thursday announced he is expanding a program to accept up to 30,000 migrants per month from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, along with a plan to expel as many migrants from those countries who circumvent U.S. laws. In a speech to the White House, Biden unveiled plans to visit the U.S. southern border this weekend, stopping in El Paso, Texas, to meet local officials and address border security issues. It will be his first stop at the border as president. Biden will also visit Mexico early next year, where he will discuss migration issues with the country's president, Andres Manuel Lopez. The Biden administration is trying to lean on Mexico and other countries in the Western Hemisphere to provide temporary protections to migrants who have fled their home countries. Well, nice that the president listened to our show yesterday and decided to do something. No, it wasn't because of us, but timely. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas would say. Good that the president is getting involved and addressing some of these policies, as we talked about on the show yesterday. This really is an issue that has to come from federal authorities. And by the way, not just the executive branch, the president, but also Congress. If we get a Congress, we have a Senate. We'll see when we have a House. Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered a temporary ceasefire in Ukraine for 36 hours beginning today to allow Orthodox Christians to attend Christmas services. But the proposal was swiftly dismissed as hypocrisy by Ukrainian officials. During his nightly address yesterday, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky voiced skepticism about the temporary ceasefire, saying Moscow is using Orthodox Christmas, quote, as a cover, unquote, to pause and resupply equipment and ammunition. The proposal for a temporary truce also raised eyebrows among the international community. President Biden later voiced his skepticism on Putin's move. Quote, he was ready to bomb hospitals and nurseries and churches on the 25th of December and New Year's. I think he's going to find some oxygen, said President Biden. Those are your news headlines, what you need to know on this day, the 6th of January, 2023. As I said, Brady Ewing coming up at the bottom of the hour here to talk some sports news. But want to take a couple of minutes, again, and we'll do this in our second hour, go into this a little bit more deeply. But talking about January 6th, and again, where were you? We'll ask you to call in next hour and share with us. Because I think it's important on occasions like this to not forget. And next hour, we're also going to talk about a story. I know Pat Kreitlow had it on his program up north, and he and Aaron talked about it a little bit. Article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel regarding 3rd District Congressman Derek Van Orten.
Congressman-elect.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Aaron. 100% right. He is not a congressman yet because no congressman has been sworn in. Congressman-elect Derek Van Orten from the 3rd Congressional District, who was at the insurrection 2 years ago. Why do we know this? Because he posted a selfie on the other side. In other words, he went through the Capitol security points. He was outside the building in this photo, but he was not where the public should have been. He crossed the police line and he posted a selfie and he bragged about it. And in the campaign, he bragged relentlessly, proud. Well, apparently now that Mr. Van Orten is wearing the congressional lapel pin and sitting on the floor of the hallowed halls of the United States Congress, he's got religion. And we'll talk, we'll tell you what he said exactly, but it's kind of a, I believe, Aaron, you called it a milk toast or a noodly, a wet noodle kind of apology. Not really an apology. Yeah. More, he's just saying he regrets it. He regrets having been there. Well, I'm sure he does. I'm sure
but he also doesn't.
I mean, he regrets getting caught. He regrets bragging. Yes. He regrets getting caught, and he regrets bragging about it. That's what he regrets. Because he's starting to perhaps understand a little bit that the halls of the Capitol and the floor of the United States House of Representatives is a sacred spot. I have been there. When I worked for former Congressman Scott Klug, I had the privilege and the honor to have my boss take me down onto the floor of the United States House of Representatives. And I was just a mid-level staffer. And to stand there and think about all the people who had been on that floor, the history that had been made, it's impactful. And I can't imagine being an elected member to that body and sitting on that floor. So maybe Derek Van Orten now kind of gets it a little bit more. But the interesting thing is he's not apologizing. He's still holding fast to the big lie that there were election irregularities in 2020, which have been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt to be completely, wholly, and 100% untrue. The 2020 election was one of the most secure elections in the history of our Democratic Republic. Mr. Van Orten now regrets getting caught attending the January 6th insurrection 2 years ago. You know who else regrets it? The families of people who lost loved ones, police officers, at the insurrection. And we remember them today as well. Also remember all the heroes, all the police officer, the one individual who literally led the mob away from the United States Senate. Remembering the individuals who protected Vice President Pence, who the mob was there to lynch and kill. Remember the election workers who stood up in the states and said, we're not going to give in and preserve democracy, because those folks are heroes as well. We'll talk more about January 6th in hour number two coming up. But right now, we're going to take a break, come back, and shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk sports in Wisconsin, Wisconsin Badgers, a little Packers perhaps as well. Brady Ewing is going to join us after this break. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Flown on,
all right.
You worry, we're all flown on,
all right.
Flown on.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us on a Friday, January 6th, 2023. Time is 8:30. And we should shift gears a little bit to do a little sports for you this morning, a little sports chat. And we have some very exciting news to share with all of you this morning. I couldn't be happier, as we are going to announce this morning that Richland Center native Brady Ewing and former Wisconsin Badger fullback for 4 years, then went to the NFL, played for Atlanta and Jacksonville. He won a Big Ten championship while he was at Wisconsin and was a co-captain along with Russell Wilson and Aaron Henry his senior year. Mr. Brady Ewing is going to be joining us every other Friday on the show. Brady Ewing, welcome. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great, Todd. Thanks for having me. Thanks for that kind introduction. You brought back some good memories. So I'm excited to be joining you on somewhat of a regular basis going forward. So appreciate that opportunity.
Well, we appreciate you 100% taking the time to do this. And I just think, as we talked about this to see if it was a fit for you and how you'd feel about it, I said, I just think that you have, so many cool, unique opportunities and experiences in your life. And I just think those are things that a lot of folks will never get to experience. And I think to look at some of these sports stories through the lens of your experience really brings something to the show. So I appreciate you joining us every other Friday and bringing those stories to us.
Yeah, it's exciting, and it's like we had talked about. Just, I feel fortunate to have perspective and opportunities I did to live out a dream, play for the Badgers, being from the state of Wisconsin, play professionally for a couple few years, and if I can shed light on the greater Richland Center area, all the people that supported me on that journey, and others throughout the state that have supported the Badgers and beyond. Pretty cool. So thanks for giving me the platform to do that.
Absolutely. We appreciate it, Brady. I want to talk about a couple of things this morning. First of all, and we could do an entire segment on your former teammate Chris Borland. Of course, made a lot of news when he stepped away from the league and the 49ers and has really brought a lot of awareness to football safety protocols, particularly concussions and head injuries. But I want to just get your take for a minute or two on the DeMar Hamlin situation. Of course, he collapsed last on Monday Night Football. Had a cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm. We learned this morning that he is awake enough to... The first question apparently he wrote when he came to was, did we win? So it was a great sign because it shows that his brain is working, that he didn't have severe amnesia. The doctor said that was a super sign that was the first thing he asked. But Brady, just interested as someone who played in the league, played 4 years at Division I, what are just basic thoughts about safety protocols right now, particularly in the NFL, but feel free to touch on college as well.
Yeah, there's obviously a heightened sense of awareness around concussions, around... helmet contact, just a lot of different awareness being brought. Roughing the passer, I know that's been a hot topic in the NFL here with some of the weaker roughing the passer calls, I would categorize them as. But it's been a heightened sense of awareness, and I think rightfully so. There's you take a game that is incredibly violent by nature and you try to put guide rails up, and as we continue to adjust, guys are continuing to get bigger, faster, and stronger, as cliche as that sounds. And they're continuing to try to find ways to keep guys healthy to make the game be sustainable. And so I commend them for that. And through that time, there's challenges with that, both from the enforcement side, from the refs, players continuing to adjust, on helmet-to-helmet hits, or guys that are, need to be protected, they're defenseless And so I think all of that is good, are good things and a good trend in the game. And I just think, though, it continues to start at the youth level, having good youth coaches that can reinforce good tackling techniques, good hat placement when you're playing at the speed of the game. But I can also speak out of the other side of my mouth a little bit when, you know, when you're playing at such a fast level, the NFL, Division I level, even at the high school level, it's a lot of it is reactionary. So, you know, that's why I say it goes back to the youth days and kind of those habits that you created, how important those are, because you don't have time in those moments to think. You're reacting and you're almost in survival mode, as bad as that sounds. Just you're out there reacting, trying to make a play, trying to help your team out. And so I think that even makes it more and more important to reinforce those things at such a young level, whether it's flag football, youth tackle football, the high school level. The game's going to continue to evolve, and it's going to have to you know, try to keep the health and safety at the forefront of the game.
I know I talked to Dion Kempthorne, the former dean of Richland, who played on the 64 Rose Bowl team. I interviewed him years ago when Wisconsin went to their first Rose Bowl in 94. And he made the comment at that time that, you know, the game had changed from 64 to 94 and that the pads were so much bigger then. But now you look at the game, even when, guys are playing in the early 2000s and in college football to when you played, to today, and you're right, the padding has gotten less, guys have gotten bigger, the guys have gotten, the strength, right, and the speed, and so it's a lot different when you have, you know, a certain weight of a person running with huge pads versus a larger guy at a faster speed with fewer pads. I mean, it's going to make an impact, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, it's, basic, scientific equations at that point, and you look at a guy like Braylon Allen at UW. I mean, a running back of his size that can move as well as he does, and his shoulder pad barely covers his shoulders, and it's crazy. The dude's a monster and fun to watch, but it continues to evolve. I mean, guys are, continuing to refine the nutrition, learning about sleep, nutrition, how important those things are. The training at an earlier level. The game's going to continue to evolve, and it's needed, because we need to keep our kids and we want everyone to be healthy, and that's, been highlighted. I'm super happy to hear about the progress DeMar's making and, kind of that freak incident with the hit and his cardiac arrest. So super happy to hear about that progress, but, In the game, there's always risk, and so if we can do as much as we can to limit that, I think that's going to be better for people and kids. For such a fun game where it brings together so many people of different backgrounds, I mean, some of the guys I got the chance to learn from, to grow with, and to be a part of a team with on the same mission from all over the country, all over the world, coaches, it just brings together people of different backgrounds, different religious beliefs. It's just, it's truly a melting pot of the world and of the country. And, so many good life lessons to be learned, let alone the work that you're putting in, and the life lessons you're learning there as far as, putting in work for a process for really 13 opportunities at the college level, 12, 13 opportunities. So, it's a great game and, excited to see how it evolves.
Absolutely. You brought up Braylon Allen, and I want to switch gears to the current Badgers just for a minute. Of course, they won their bowl game, Coach Luke Fickell's first win, although much of the former coaching staff really took the lead in that game. And here's the takeaway. I know, Brady, we talked about this last month when you were on. Obviously, you know many of the coaches and some of the players on the current team, and it's hard for you because you're personally involved and have kind of mixed emotions with the outgoing staff. But just from a standpoint of watching this game, I mean, for me, the takeaway just as a fan was I thought for the first time, even before Coach Paul Chris got fired, even before they announced Luke Fickell, I thought for the first time all season – maybe not the only time, but one of the few times, I thought they actually looked like they were having fun. I saw energy on the field. I saw guys kind of banging around with each other, joking around, laughing, smiling. And I thought, see, that's what you need. That's what we're missing. I just was happy for the guys that they seemed like they were having a good time. What were your takeaways?
Honestly, some of the same. I know Rachel and I, it was a late game, and somehow I stayed up for
Me too. I'm much older than you.
got up early the next morning for work and ready to go. But I said the same thing. You know, I saw energy. I saw passion. And, you know, those bowl games are always interesting, especially when, you know, going to the Rose Bowl is one thing, or some of these big, you know, January 1st bowl games. You know, are a big deal, but when you've had a tougher year, at least in Wisconsin standards, you know, make a bowl game sounds like it was a great experience, but in all reality, a lower tier bowl game.
Sure.
You know, a lot of guys, and then you got guys entering the transfer portal, guys sitting out because they, you know, want to prepare for the NFL draft. Mm. You just don't know what you're going to get. And to see guys come out, that hadn't played much all year or had played and compete with energy and passion, that was awesome to see. And, you know, who knows what motivated different guys to have that, but whether it was Fickell, whether it was, you know, playing for Jimmy Leonard as and some of the other coaches as they departed the program. Mm-hmm. But it was good to see, and I think then you couple that with some of the recruiting updates that we've been seeing with Fickell and his staff, you know, and the relationships that had been in place, that they continue to grow there. It's I think exciting times ahead for, you know, Badger football. Still, like I mentioned last month, still bittersweet. You know, I talked to a coach, Taylor Melhoff, yesterday, and he coached some special teams at UW, played at UW, was with Coach Chris at Pitt, and he's trying to figure out what's next, you know, as far as coaching, family, you know, jumping into the real world. So no doubt there's a lot of transition out there, and you know, thoughtful and supportive of those guys as well.
Absolutely. As we talked last time, unfortunately, Division I college sports, particularly football, is a business. And, you know, people have to make tough choices, and it impacts these kind of situations, impacts so many other people beyond what the average person sees on a Saturday on television. As you said, the nutrition people, the strength people, just the support staff that goes around the Division I team. So certainly we're thinking of all of those folks as well. But as you look towards the future, I mean, holy cow. It just seems to me that bringing in Phil Longo with this air raid offense and kind of the, I don't want to say cool, because that sounds kind of harsh, but I mean, it was really interesting, you know, having Coach Mike Leach pass away and all the attention, and rightly so, on his legacy. But he's the guy that really started this air raid offense that focuses, yes, on passing, but the theory is, particularly under Phil Longo, and I don't claim to be any sort of football expert anywhere close to you, Brady, but as I understand what Phil Longo was running in North Carolina, that you focus on passing, but then in turn that opens up situations for your running game. So a guy like Braylon Allen is going to get a lot of opportunities, because defenses are going to have to be looking at these wide receivers, some of these three and four star guys now apparently that they're bringing in. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's just going to be very fast paced, which we're not really used to as Wisconsin fans.
We're not, and it's going to be a change. I think it is exciting, and there's a couple quotes I read here either yesterday or a couple days ago from Coach Longo, and hearing him talk about, you know, we want to be as efficient in the passing game as Wisconsin has historically been in the running game. Mm-hmm. And to your point, that's only going to open up more opportunities. You know, there's such a delicate balance, and you know, throughout Coach Chris's career and, you know, every team's career, you go through, you know, some imbalances. And so I think to be able to bring in some quarterback recruits that they've been able to get committed here recently, bring in some receivers and have that philosophy behind it, but still have the tradition and some of the existing mindset of, you know, the run mentality, the toughness mentality of blocking, I think it's going to be super intriguing. And on the defensive side, I know you didn't mention that, but Coach Tressel, I saw him, it sounds like Cincinnati might have been the number one pass defense in the country
last year.
And Wisconsin was up there for run defense. So do you look at, you know, some of that mentality? Part of that, I think, is what you go against in practice, too, as you prepare all year. You know, Wisconsin's traditionally a run-first offense. And so when you're going good versus good or ones versus one in practice in fall camp, you know, that's what you're seeing.
Sure.
And so that's the mentality you create as a defense. So it'll be interesting as they find that balance between, you know, the number one pass defense staff coming in and coupling that with the mentality of the number one run defense. It's going to be,
question is, Brady, are they going to have a fullback? That's your position. We want more fullbacks. Hey, hang on, Brady. We're going to take a break. Come back with more after this with Brady Ewing. Stay with us on the Todd Allbowl Show on Civic Media. Time is 8:50 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. On this segment, we are talking Wisconsin sports, all things sports, with Brady Ewing, former Badger football player, former NFL player for Atlanta and Jacksonville. Brady, I want to touch a little bit on the student-athlete mentality and on how fans affect the play of a student-athlete. You played, of course, in high school at Richland Center, both basketball and football, and then 4 years at Wisconsin in football. There was a tweet a couple of days ago by Trace Jackson, who is a player for Ohio State. And the Ohio State basketball program has had a little ups and downs this season, not quite where people perhaps expected them to play. And Trace Jackson, the player on Ohio State, tweeted this out. He said, "You wonder why players experience mental health issues and problems. We're going to continue to get better as a team, and we will continue this journey. Thank you, Tim Weaver, for your words of encouragement. Go Hoosiers." This guy, Tim Weaver, and then Trace Jackson posts a photo of a handwritten letter. So this guy who claims to be a Hoosier fan, Tim Weaver, took the time to write a letter. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's crap. But it starts out and it says, "I know they'll never give this to you, which is illegal, but I'm writing it anyway. My favorite player of all time is Calvert." I guess he was an Ohio State player. I don't know. Not because he scored a lot, but because he was an awesome leader. You, on the other hand, are a horrible leader. Players get in trouble all the time, which means they don't respect you or Woody, who also sucks." And it goes on and on. My point is, these folks, these are 18 to 22, 23-year-old kids. I mean, I know they're adults, but I mean, they're still developing. They're kids. They're putting everything they have into this. And I would just like your perspective, Brady, as we've gotten into this world of social media. Players have accounts now on Twitter, on Instagram, and these fans think they're athletic directors, and they follow these players, and they sometimes tweet horrible things. And I just want to, you know, from your perspective, you know, when you were playing, how did that affect you? How did that affect the team? Do you guys talk about this stuff that fans say to you, or do you just try to block it out? How do you handle it as a player?
Yeah, each team I've been a part of has been a little different on how the head coach or the coaching staff has, you know, tried to steer the team to handle things like that. And no matter what you're doing in life, you're going to have, you know, quote-unquote haters out there. But I would say it's magnified tenfold when you look at, especially college athletes. I mean, even professional athletes. And, you know, at that point, it's your full-on occupation. But, it's out there. And, you know, one of Coach Bielema's sayings and Coach Chris saying back in the day when I was in college was ignore the noise. You know, whether, you know, social media was, you know, coming onto the scene at that point, but it wasn't as big as it is now. And the prevalence for, you know, just access to athletes that way.
Sure.
So it was, you know, we were looking at more of what was being written in the papers and things like that. And at the time, we were having a lot of success. So it was, you know, ignore the noise. Let's focus on today. Let's focus on getting better. You know, let's focus on the process and not look at what, you know, this paper or this person's projecting us to do as a team long term, because, you know, what really matters is what's in this room. But when you look at the other side of the coin, in this example that you're given, honestly, it's sad. You know, that one's coming from a different, you know, team. You know, it sounds like he was an Ohio State fan of a player or something like that. But it's sad. And the mental health struggles for student athletes, all that they're going through from, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day of sports-related stuff between training, between practice, in season. You know, the school rigors that come with that, especially at a school in the Big Ten or like Wisconsin, you know, high standards. And there's a lot tugging and pulling on these kids. And then I think that gets magnified that much further when you look at name, image, likeness, and the transfer portal, and just some of the stressors that puts on them. And you see it every, you know, every week. You know, there's, you know, I saw McCaffrey from Iowa just took a leap of absence.
Right. Yeah.
Due to anxiety and mental health. And
By the way, I misspoke.
If I didn't say I struggled with stuff like that. So.
And I'm sorry, I misspoke, Brady. I said Ohio State. I meant Indiana. Trace Jackson plays for Indiana. This guy also was a fan of Indiana, so that was my bad. So
got it. Okay.
Yeah, it's the COVID fog still messing up my brain. But
that's all right.
So you were winning. I mean, you were winning Big Ten championships and going to Rose Bowls when you played, and I think that you're pretty well liked and were a great player. But you're saying that you even struggled with mental health issues when you were a player.
Yeah, not necessarily diagnosed or anything like that, but absolutely. I think not from external factors, more from just internal and myself. And especially as I transition from college to the NFL and, you know, feel like I'm living out a dream and being a part of something that is so finite in the big picture and wanting to take as much advantage of it as possible, from contributing to the team, to maximizing my capabilities, to, you know, the financial opportunities that were there. It was, and then with the injuries, you know, and then throughout my, you know, 3-year career in the NFL, that kind of compounded itself and snowballed a little bit. Mm. And each time, you know, I continued to get injured and continued to battle back. You know, it felt like that, you know, anxiety, I guess you could say, kind of heightened itself each time, you know, and it's, I wanted to be able to try to do everything in my power I could control, you know, put myself in a position to succeed, and it just wasn't in the good Lord's cards at that time.
I really appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing that, because I think a lot of people do go through mental health issues, whether they're diagnosed or not. I certainly have, and depression issues, and I think that too often it's like, well, I can't say anything, I can't seek out help. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're a D1 player, an NFL player, whether you end up on the radio, whatever it is, we all need help. Sometimes that's family support, sometimes that's pastoral support, sometimes that's doctor support. But I think it's just a good message, right? Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Oh, no doubt.
I appreciate that.
That was my family. Yeah. That was my family, you know, and that, you know, everybody looks at whether the NFL, the college life as a glamorous life, and it definitely is an amazing life. But with that comes different challenges. Mm. You know, there's high risk and high reward. You know, I kind of like what we talked about with the coaching stuff, you know, as coaches move around the country, but they get paid pretty well too. So there's that balance, but, no doubt it's, you know, for me, that was my family, my wife, you know, my high school sweetheart. We've been married 10 years, Rachel, and going on 11 years here this spring. And
wonderful parents, and
my parents
as well.
My brother's siblings. Yeah, exactly. My parents, my siblings, you know, some key members and friends, you know, teammates. Mm. And so no doubt there's people there that want to help. And it's a matter of just having that conversation, working through it, and all that,
Brady,
at least in my situation.
I really appreciate you sharing that this morning. Thanks for spending time with us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. That's Brady Ewing from Badger Football. And now in Richland Center, we'll see you then. Thanks, Brady. Have a great day.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Stay with us more after this on the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media's Radio Network.